Well, the Lord was really tugging on my heart, that song, and Amazing Love, too, about being chained, set free, and how good He is to us. And we've been having an incredible time here at this conference. It's been sweet fellowship, and seeing the brethren out here today. my name's Ed Drysdale, for those that don't know me. My wife is Abby Drysdale. Is she here? She's not around. She's with the kids. Anyways, we're serving the Lord down in Mexico, and we've been here on furlough for a few months, and it's been sweet fellowship with the brethren, and it's been good times. And one thing I wanted to just share from my heart, that the Lord's been ministering to me on prayer, and kind of holds close to my heart. I've been wrestling with the idea how to communicate this. So I want to go ahead and read a passage here. I'm not going to take a long time. It's in Matthew 26, chapter 26. Before I do that, I remember just a little background that before I married Abby, I'd asked her if she'd be okay to just to live in one spot, you know, because I was accustomed to just living in Lancaster, California, and all those years, and I was quite content. When I moved up to Oregon, the Lord had worked on my heart, and so I had asked her if she'd be willing to just, you know, stay in one area. About 4 years ago, where's my notes here? I'm lost. Well, we're family, right? You have patience, long suffering, I hope. Okay, hope I can read them. My wife, I asked her if she could live and be content. And about 4 years ago, I went to a conference just like this. The Lord had radically changed my life. Dick was sharing about going into the promised land. Joy and Jason were at that conference too. Anyways, it was good to see you. It really radically changed my life because my father-in-law was mentioning too, was the topic was crossing over the Jordan. I was really struggling with the idea because I thought as a missionary that, you know, that's a step of faith to be able to walk across, and how's the Lord going to provide finances and stuff. And I remember during the training program, Eric Koslow was in the class and Dick had mentioned about, you know, some of the things about his missionary experiences. One thing he mentioned in Korea was about chicken bones and how that you could use the chicken bones for two or three times. And Eric was sitting next to me, and he wrote that down, you know, because the Lord was putting on his heart to go on the mission field. And I was like, Eric, you know, where's your faith, brother, you know? But we went through the training program, and the Lord had to mature me. And really, to be honest with you, this is actually my first time up preaching. I've been kind of behind the scenes, been working with Steve and Linda Montgomery. My role is basically working with them, was pretty much going door to door and one-on-one and small groups. So this is kind of a step of faith for me to get up here in front of y'all and minister on these things. That transpired, we're actually going to be moving to another area. It's called Valle de Juarez. Lord's placed it on our hearts to be praying for that area. It's in the circle of silence. It sits at the base of the mountain, and it's about a population of 10,000 people. So we've been praying for that area, and Lord's asked us if we're willing to go, take that leap of faith. So we're going to an area that there's not really a witness there. And so, we're crossing over the Jordan and unto the unknown. And so we're kind of stretching our wings. And we appreciate your prayers, and we covet your prayers. We've had a lot of people come to visit us, the Boers, and it's been a blessing having them. Anyhow, let me get to, let's turn to Matthew 26. I want to talk about prayer. And verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, why go and pray yonder? And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be a sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto him, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Well, one of the things the Lord was ministering to me in this passage is that I think we can all relate to the disciples. You know, they're... I remember going to a prayer vigil with Jim Lucas. He asked me right before we got married. I went with Richard McDaniel, a couple other guys, Webb Loy, and we went to this prayer meeting. And up to that point, I only had like maybe 20 minutes up to prayer. And he said, Ed, you ought to come with us, and we're going to pray. I said, okay. So I got there, and we're sitting down this round table with all these godly men that I look up to and respect. And I'm sitting in this round table, and we're all praying. Well, I'd say probably about 20 minutes or about 30 minutes into it, I'm like, wow, we're praying a long time. And I start to doze off. And I'm not sure if any of you have, been there, but I started to doze off, and I thought I'd be more spiritual. So I laid my head over here like this on the table and was praying. All of a sudden, I woke up to, saliva drooling, And I thought, oh, wow. I was just really in the Lord, mopping that up. So I had to slap myself around a couple times. But I think we can all relate to the disciples, that they struggled with prayer. And one thing the Lord's been ministering to me is that prayerlessness is a sin. And I thought, wow, I was really looking at that. Because here, it says in verse 41, it says, Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think a lot of times that we have good intentions to pray, but our flesh is weak. And it's Lord's been ministering to me, it's a reproach to God, And I don't really want to beat ourselves up over that, but it's important. And I realize that being on the mission field, and my brothers and sisters like yourself been praying, and that we can't do anything without prayer. It starts with prayer. Amen? And we covet your prayers on the mission field. And so, anyways, and why did he command this? Well, what is the application for us? Well, for one, so we might not be tempted to sin. Okay, because it says here, it says watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Okay, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, I've read a lot of books about prayer. And You know, you read about John Welch, the Scottish preacher who spent, you know, he felt like it was an ill day spent. You need to spend 8 hours in prayer. And that just kind of blows me away. You know, these are real godly men. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says to spend X amount of time in prayer. And I'm kind of rationalizing this out. And this is just my, maybe you can chew on this. I'll throw this out at you. But is that as a marathon, you know, if you're to train for a marathon, you'd have to learn to, basically you want to eat the correct things for a marathon. You know, there's preparation and you want to intake those, you know, good food. Well, kind of in the Christian life too, is that, you know, if we're training as a marathon, it's not how, they don't have blocks as a marathon. If you see them, they don't start off. Christianity is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. You know, so they don't have blocks. It's how you finish the race is what counts. You know, so I'm looking at this in a practical terms, is that if we're eating right and working exercise, we're spending 45 minutes working out, why not put that time equally into praying and reading God's Word? You know, because those, and these, the two elements that I looked at is that he consistently eats the nutrition diet of the Scriptures. He consistently spends time in aerobic kneeling. These two elements must go together. Okay? And there's two mistakes that I looked at, is that we can make this, we need to be careful. Emphasize Scripture without prayer. Emphasize prayer without Scripture. The man who studies and is in the Word, but is that he'll develop a good mind, but his heart might be cold. But man who is on the other side, who is praying, but it's not in the Word, he's praying outside the will of God. Does that make sense? I don't know. But that's made sense to me. And so we need to have a balance to those things. Are you with me? Can I hear amen? Amen. Anyhow, well, I'm not going to take too much further, but how to apply these things, I thought, I have a lot more written that I'm going to share, but I'll just make this short. I want to read this thing. Prayer is not merely coming to ask God something. I got this from Andrew Murray. Prayer is not merely coming to God to ask something from Him. It is above all fellowship with God and being brought under the power of His holiness and love until He takes possession of us and stamps our entire nature with the lowliness of Christ, which is His true secret of worship. Amen? And so, what are the excuses of prayer? Well, distraction, you know. A lot of Christians don't have the joy of praying, you know. It's hard, but we need to submit that before the Lord and ask the Lord to help us out in those areas. Okay, here we go. I believe there are four necessary components in an effective plan for praying. Plan a time. Okay, you got to start somewhere. Plan a time. We make time to go. We make a grocery list. We go and we take time to, you know, fill out, for a tune-up. There's a lot of things for planning. Well, if we plan our time to spend that time in the Word and reading the Word and praying, and a good rule of thumb is in the mornings. And that's not always practical for some, but you look at through the Scriptures, a lot of examples that we see are start in the morning. People start in the morning. And the other thing is plan a place. We're constantly planning places. We plan a place to live, to exercise, to have lunch. Find a place, a quiet place, to spend time with the Lord. I think Richard mentioned yesterday about the woman that had all the kids running around and stuff, and then she put an apron over, you know. Well, if that's the place, then you can be in that zone and praying for the Lord, if that's what it, you know, takes. Anyways, and to make a list, write down things about what to pray for. Don't just be praying for selfish things, but be praying outside your circle. Be praying for the elders, the deacons, and people on the mission field, relatives, and so forth. These are just suggestions here. And be going to Scripture. There's no magic formula, but private time with the Lord in prayer is the point. And anyhow, that's what I wanted to share. And the one thing I had, we're going to Valle de Juarez in next month, and we're asking people that, we have like basically eight categories. I'm going to just go ahead and put this in the back, but we have eight categories, and we're asking for people that if they're interested, they could be praying with us. But some of the things, like, for example, surrounding villages, we like to ask you that you'd uphold areas surrounding Valle de Juarez in prayer. This whole area is known to be very hardcore Catholic. It is known for its drug trafficking. And there's Ojo de Agua, Santa Maria de Oro. And so anyways, there's safety, direction, unity, personal family, idolatry, and key families. And so I'm going to go ahead and leave that in the back. I'm going to leave a sign-up sheet if anyone wants to go ahead and pray for those things. We appreciate it. So, thank you, brothers.